A sermon by Reverend Richard A. Rem, preached at Christ Community Church in Spring Lake, Michigan, on November 19, 1995, in the series Good News, entitled Dancing with God. The scripture readings are Psalm 92 and Luke 15, verses 18 through 32. The texts for the sermon are Psalm 149, verse 3, and Luke 15, verse 24. Copyright, Grand Valley State University.
Well, along with Peter, I'm glad that Mark and Don Marie are here this morning because it gives 8:30 at least a little taste of the joy of receiving new members into this community of faith. And it's always a joy to come to the elders' meetings where we hear the stories of those who are coming in. Sometimes those of us who have been here so long get numb to the wonder and the joy of it all. And I often wish that all of you could sit in the circle of the elders' meetings where those who are coming to us give expression to their faith and to the reasons for choosing to become a part of this community of faith. Those of us who have that joy often say it's probably the finest hour of our total church experience. It's wonderful to hear the freshness, to hear the excitement, to know that the things that were happening 25 years ago still happen. And that there is something about this place that those who come in for the first time and experience it as a new experience are able to sense and to articulate. And it confirms for me and for those of us in this ministry and for those who share in its leadership, it confirms to us that it's still happening, that something still goes on here. And so I'm glad that we had the little taste of that this morning, because those elders' meetings are not only an inspiration for me, but I think it was the one this summer that actually caused this message to be born. It was a particularly articulate group of people in that circle that evening. And as they gave expression to why they were here, I sat there so moved and really quite amazed. The thing that pleased me so much is that the things that we are trying to be and to become were the things that were being expressed. And it's sort of like when you try to shape a posture, create a spirit, to create the impression of what you really want to be, and then you hear someone who hears that or experiences that speak it back to you, and it's a confirmation of the fact that something's coming through. And after sitting in that circle this summer, I was really struck by the eloquent and articulate manner in which the life of Christ Community and the vision and the faith of Christ Community was brought to expression by those who were coming in. And I said to somebody, "Dear God, I wonder why they're not breaking the doors to get in this place. I mean, you know, it's so wonderful, it's so good." And it was so thrilling to me to see that there were those who were coming and were tasting and were saying, "Yes, that's it, and that's good, and that's why we're here." I think that for me, I need about 4 shots of that a year to keep going and to keep on believing. You can't believe when you talk as much as I do how tired you get of hearing yourself talk. And every once in a while, it's good just to sit back and hear someone else give expression to that which is really at the very core of one's being and to know that, well, thank God, it's still happening. The group that is coming in today at their elders meeting, I think it was that Peter had to leave early that evening, and he entrusted that group to me for the last half of the evening. And well, there are a lot of things going on in this congregation. I mean, anybody that would join this congregation at this time in our life is either a fool or they must believe it. And so I don't think it was necessarily that I was long-winded, although that goes without saying, but that meeting went on at least an hour beyond where it was supposed to go, because the folks were interested and they were asking questions about all the ways in which we're in trouble and so on. And I told them everything, because I never believed that we ought ever to take anyone in on false pretenses. We have had a consistent theme of grace in this place for 25 years, but the nuances change as the times change, and as there's a varying call for certain emphases and a certain voice. And so we do shift and move a bit, although there is that consistent grace emphasis. But so with institutions, so with individuals, we move and sometimes we change. But one of the things I've always been proud of at Christ Community is that I've never known anyone who has come and looked at us and come in and then left us because they said what you appeared to be, you were not when we got on the inside. It's very noble of the Apostle Paul to say that I became all things to all people that I might by all means win some. But congregations can't be that. Not that we would exclude anyone who would come in, but an institution really has to have a vision and a direction and a sense of what it is, an identity. And our particular identity and our particular posture, I think it's so wonderful, but I know it's not for everyone, and that's perfectly all right. But the important thing, I think, is that we have a clarity, and that we know who we are, and that we are able to affirm ourselves and feel good about that, and that we can be honest about that as we open ourselves to the community. But after that summer meeting, I came back the next morning and said to Peter, I mean, you know, he's always a little anxious about, he's got these nice people out there. Now, are they going to say yes, or are they going to say wait, or are they going to say no? And I said to him the summer after that elders meeting, I said, you know, if that group comes in, or I mean, it was this fall when I said, if that group comes in, I said, they're going to come in with their eyes open. Because I told all, and I think he got a little perspiration on his brow, as I remember. Well, by golly, they've come in. They're coming in today. And that thrills me. That sets my feet to dancing. To dancing. As I grew up, I couldn't dance. Not because I was awkward, that too goes without saying, but it was on the list of prohibitions. I think dancing was demarcated as worldly, and a Christian young person shouldn't be worldly, so I never could go to the dances. Some of you are shaking your head at the dinosaur that sits before you this morning, but that's true. And it wasn't a major setback for my human development, but nonetheless, I just couldn't dance. I knew, I was told that it wasn't so much dancing in itself, but that it led to other exciting forms of debauchery. And so a Christian young person just ought not to do that. So, I can remember when I got to Hope College, there were beginning to be cracks in the dike, because there was dancing off campus, but in the Daily Bulletin it was referred to as a foot function. That's true. And I never functioned with my feet, I want you to know. But I was as a youngster, I was a quick learner. I soon learned that when the Bible said, "Praise the name of the Lord with dancing," that wasn't really dancing. Just like when it said wine, it wasn't fermented. I mean, I knew those things. I learned those things. Now, don't think that I'm really mocking my Christian nurture. It was serious and it was authentic and it led me to God, and for all of my days I will be grateful for that. But it was serious. There wasn't a lot of joy. And celebration wasn't in the vocabulary. And I am so thankful at this point in my life that I have come to experience something more, that I have discovered and that we have discovered together that great biblical word, celebration, and that we have learned to dance with God. The psalmist does clearly call Israel to praise the name of the Lord with dance. And, of course, that wonderful parable. We revisit Luke 15 periodically around here because I don't know of any finer expression of grace. The parable of the prodigal son is like the gospel within the gospel. Isn't it a beautiful story? Can you ever read it without being moved in your depths? At the picture of that father embracing the son who comes home after his alienation and his estrangement, loaded with guilt, full of anxiety, only to be deluged with a father's tears of joy. And I read it again this morning to focus on the party. Because celebration and the party, that is so intrinsic to the gospel, which is good news, which is joy in God. This fall, we have been focusing on good news. We've rejoiced together in the fact that not one little one, according to the will of God, not one little one should be lost. That not one of us need despair. That there is no one who is excluded. That the newness of the Spirit of God keeps breaking into our lives. And that at our death, God has more in store for us. Now, isn't that good news? And isn't it impossible not to dance? To set your feet to dancing when you contemplate the goodness and the mercy of God, the grace of God, the grace of God that we've seen in the face of Jesus Christ, through which we look into the very heart of God. Isn't that grand? And so, isn't it obvious that everyone would celebrate and join the party, sit down at the banquet table laden with the fatted calf and fine wine? Well, no, apparently it isn't obvious. There was the elder brother. Because Jesus was fully aware that the amazing grace of God, which sets feet to dancing, is tragically for some a turnoff. The elder brother who comes in is a good man. He's serious, hardworking, responsible, and joyless, begrudging not only the heavy responsibility that he has executed in his own life, but begrudging the frivolity of his brother and the big deal that the Father was making over the Son's return. But dear friends, there was cause for celebration because grace had overcome alienation. Grace had overcome estrangement. Grace had wiped away guilt and removed fear. Wasn't there reason, as the Father said, just amazed at the other response? Isn't it reasonable that we should throw a party? I am so thankful that at Christ Community we have learned to throw a party, that we have learned to celebrate, that we have come together to joy before the Lord, who sets our feet to dancing. For 125 years in this place, that celebration draws now to its culmination on Thanksgiving Day. For 125 years, the grace of God has been lifted up here. And for the last 25 years at least, we've learned to dance to those grace notes. And today as you leave, you're going to receive the anniversary book, a gift to every household, which tells the highlights of the story. Some of you here can trace your lineage to charter members. Some of you here were baptized here. Some of you here have only just begun. But altogether, there's a story being written. There is a tapestry being woven, and we're all being threaded into it together. As a family of God, as a community of faith, as a people, thank God, who've learned to dance with God. Isn't it good? Isn't it good?